Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Penix brings Pitts in motion. He'll take the snap. Michael, quick shot. This is Robinson. Slides through a crack at the five and scores. Bijan Robinson, another touchdown for Atlanta. And this one's his second touchdown catch of the year. Not since week one against Tampa on the third snap. Has he taken a pass into the end zone?
7:04 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan after, yes, an unfortunate Falcons loss to the 49ers 20-10. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We're pulling an audible this morning to get Dave Archer on early today. You know him, former Falcons QB, now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network.
Analyst.
Just hours after this loss, our conversation with Arch is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Dave, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Have you gotten any sleep?
Yeah, I got a little on the plane. I mean, Bo stretches out to where he jacks up the whole row. So you can't, you know, he's the only guy that's small enough to actually put the armrests up on the seats and actually lay horizontal in the seats. Well, so, but
I misunderstood that for a minute. I'm glad that he was just jacking things up.
Yeah, he wants to lay his head on my leg and stuff like that. It's a bad deal. So.
What a visual.
This is all coming from this animosity. Here's what the truth of the matter is. Animosity, because one of our flight attendants, Monica, came up and offered me a blanket, and then Arch is suddenly throwing his hands up out of jealousy. A fit of rage, of jealousy that he didn't get a blanket and a pillow.
I don't know if rage is the right way to determine it, but there was some jealousy there. I'll admit that, because it was about 40 degrees on the plane. Maybe they just did that on purpose to us because we played that cold in the game. But these trips suck, Allie. As far as you go out there and you do these late night games, and then you got to get on a plane. Michael tell you, he's done it. Get on a plane at 1 o'clock Eastern time and come back at, 5 o'clock. And especially if you lose, it's even worse. Yes. So, not good. Oof.
Arch, there's a lot of talk about the offense this morning and what wasn't going wrong. But I've even seen some ridiculous tweets about the quarterback. What did you see out of Michael Penix last night where you thought maybe that was, what he could improve on and what he did well?
Well, Mike continues to improve his ninth start. I would go back and challenge anybody to look at the eighth, ninth, tenth starts of Joe Montana and John Elway and pick a guy. Go back and look at how good they were through a stretch of games. They had some good ones. They had some bad ones. Michael played pretty well last week. This week didn't play quite as well. Some of it had to do with him and maybe just not seeing things properly. I thought most of it was dictated by what Robert Saleh was doing defensively. I thought they got after him. San Francisco played faster than Atlanta did. They played more physical than Atlanta did. I thought that I don't know if it caught them off guard, Mike, but they got out physicaled up front and they played faster. I thought they had a really their plan to come downhill against the running game. I thought that Zach's idea of play actioning on first down was a good idea because he anticipated that they were going to try to come after. They were going to try to run dog them. The problem was you couldn't block them, and they were bringing extra players. Some of the things I would like to have seen maybe from an adjustment standpoint, I know you guys have been talking a little bit about the offense and some ingenuity or some different looks. I think moving the pocket would have helped them some. I think the launch point of the quarterback stayed consistent until the 49ers were able to get dialed in on where Michael was going to be. I think that would have helped some. I thought that the way they came out in the second half with the perimeter screen game was outstanding. I thought that was supplementing the run game because the Niners, their number one concern was to try to keep Bijan from creasing them in the run game, and I thought they run fit extremely well. They ran dog. They had run dogs that were taking that stuff away, and they were running through the run plays to the pass protection, and it created some disruption. But as far as Michael goes, yeah, he made some bad plays. He made some really good plays, too.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with all the stuff you're talking about, Arch. And I'm with you. I thought the exterior screen game, I still don't understand why we don't draw in the middle, like a running back draw to kind of keep the pass rush off balance. We don't run screens in the middle. But, beggars can't be choosers. And I thought that Zach Robinson did do a nice job at times last night with what you're talking about, some of the adjustments he was trying to make. But I'm with you on moving the pocket. I want to talk about the passing game as well. And you and I had numerous conversations last week about Drake London and the targets. Michael Penix, I know you talked to him about how much do you want to distribute the football? How much are we kind of locking in and making sure Drake gets his touches? 10 targets for Drake last night, 4 catches. They did such a good job of defending Drake London and that connection with Michael Penix. What did you see in real time last night? Their ability to defend him just seemed like it took a step.
Yeah, I thought that some of it had to do with their ability to rush the passer. I think that it was speeding Mike's clock up to where he couldn't necessarily maybe either get through reads or wait on Drake to run some of the routes. I thought there were a number of times. Now, that Darnell Mooney contributed last night. I was excited about Darnell being a part of what was going on. And I think that'll continue to grow as he kind of gets his sea legs under him, if you will. But Mooney was open a couple times on some deep over routes. He couldn't hold the ball long enough to let it go. So I thought that some of that was part of what the Niners were doing from a pass rush standpoint. They hugged up a little bit, took away some of the quick, easy throws that sometimes we get with Drake. By the Pitts, you guys talked a little bit already. I was driving home listening. Pitts emerged yesterday. I thought he was very aggressive, made a lot of plays in the passing game. And we had talked about distribution of the football. So now all of a sudden, Mooney's catching the football, Drake's catching the ball, Pitts is catching the ball, and we know Bijan's going to catch it. That's pretty good distribution of getting guys involved in the game. We just didn't make enough plays, and there were too many behind-the-line plays. I thought that, a lot of people wanted us to run the football more, but when you're an offensive coordinator and you run the ball and it's -2, now it's 2nd and 12, I've got to find a way to get back to the first down line, and that makes it tough. If you watch what Kyle was doing, Kyle was having success, Kyle Shanahan, they were having success in the run game where they were third medium all night long. I don't remember them. There might have been a 2 or 3 third and long situations where they were 3rd and 10+. It was 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 2. Man, that's a pretty easy way to call a game. That's not what Zach was facing. Zach was facing 3rd and 11, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10 all night long, and that makes it tough.
Well, Arch, let's talk about that on the defensive side. Was what happened last night? Christian McCaffrey was seemingly he was everything for them offensively. If you go back and really look at it, was a lot of that Christian McCaffrey being special and just little creases and him able to turn them into big games, or is there kind of more of an issue there in this run defense now that we're getting through the season?
Well, it's never one thing, Bo. It's always going to be multiple stuff, and those two things you just described were pieces of it. I think the Allie mentioned the Divine Diablo injury. That was probably significant when you start talking about his ability, maybe not necessarily in the run game, but what he does in the passing game when he slips out of the backfield. And that's probably the guy you're looking at jumping McCaffrey coming out. How many times did he catch a little swing pass or catch a little dump over the middle of the field? Next thing you know, he's running towards the sidelines and goes and gets a first down for the 49ers to extend a drive. I thought that the loss of Diablo hurt there. In the run game, I thought that J.D. Bertrand began to start to get a feel for it. But still, it wasn't enough. You don't have enough. You don't have enough. I don't know whether it's enough size or what it was. Oh, that TQ Graham did some good things for him in the run game, but wasn't enough. But it's a combination of the fact that Atlanta's not, that's not their strength, is that interior run game defense, the Diablo injury, and then McCaffrey is one of those players. I mean, we talk about Bijan Robinson and how special he is. Well, McCaffrey was that before Bijan Robinson was even playing in the league. So you got one of the special backs that they did a good job of consistently attacking the area where Atlanta was struggling, and Atlanta didn't have an answer for it.
A couple more minutes here with Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcons analyst. And Dave, I got to ask you about the fourth down play. You know, you go for it on third and one, you can't get it. They decided to go for a pass play to Drake London, and they got broke up on fourth and one. I struggle with it because I understand where it's coming from. You haven't been able to run the ball with consistency all night, but I hated the fact that we had to throw the ball. And I don't know what needs to change short yardage-wise, but again, San Francisco could run it when they wanted to, and the Atlanta Falcons could not.
Yeah, Mike, you know as well as I do, you got to be able to go get that in the run game. You yes. shouldn't have to line up in the shotgun and throw it on a third and the length of the football. And if that's a lack of confidence and those interior guys coming off the ball and being able to move people, you just got to drop your pad level. You got to come off the ball. You know as well as I do, you've been in those situations before. We got to be able to get the quarterback's got to be able to go get you a first down. And some of it has to do with, I don't know if there's a lack of confidence, lack of thought of the size on the interior. You know, Lindstrom's not the biggest guy in the world. Neusel's definitely not one of the biggest guys in the world. But still, you got to be able to get down, and you got to be able to come off the ball. Whether you got to push him, whether you got to put Felipe Franks in there, what do you have to do? But there's a conversation about Michael's not necessarily comfortable under center. Well, you know what? You got to fix that. That you go out on a Tuesday, you show up, you need to show up on at the facility on Tuesday, and I need you to take 100 snaps under center. I don't want to hear about how you can't take snaps under center. That just can't be the reason that you don't do that. I know it's not something we use very often, but you have to be able to transition that. Put Kirk Cousins in, let him take a snap under center then. That can't be the reason you don't do that. Now, that's not necessarily what I got after the game as to why they went that route. Raheem talked about staying aggressive. Yeah, you stay aggressive, but at that point, aggressive means you go get a yard and get a first down so you can keep the ball. You know, that whole sequence right there, yes, you guys talked about the sequence at the end of the first half. That was a huge situation. You talked about it, Mike. You can't make that play. That can't happen. You can't take points off the board. That changes the game going in halftime. But the play on not being able to go get that first down right there, that essentially sealed your fate as far as being able to win the football game.
Arch, you know, you're missing a few guys up front, and it didn't feel like we were as good on the perimeter of the game. Is that, you know, Jalen Walker made that much of a difference, or was it just how quick McCaffrey gets out there?
Well, I didn't think they hurt us a lot on the perimeter. I thought they got some stretch runs a few times, but this was a between the tight ends, between the tackles attack, and they just were ripping through us. It was much like the Buffalo drive at the beginning of the first half last week. Mike talked about it in the postgame last week, and I was stunned as well that Buffalo didn't stay with that run game. Why did they not continue to try to run Cook downhill? They got back, and I think the next series after that drive, they went down, scored on that opening drive of the third quarter in the Buffalo game. Their next three plays were pass plays. They put Josh Allen up the bat and let him throw the ball, completely abandoned the run game. And I had no idea why they did that. I mean, and Kyle didn't do that, though. Kyle understands that, hey, we got something going here. They don't have an answer for it. We're going to continue to come downhill. But I didn't think the perimeter run game hurt Atlanta very much. Yes, Jalen Walker is a better run defender. They got to the perimeter on a couple of toss plays that I thought James Pierce, he's got to have his head up. He's got to understand they're going to try to pin him with the outside receiver, that slot receiver. He's got to be able to fight through that. He's not the biggest guy in the world from a physicality standpoint. Walker's much thicker. He's going to be able to fight off a wide receiver to maybe set the edge a little bit more. But I didn't think that necessarily beat us. I thought that the run game interior was the problem.
Well, obviously, it's been a long night for you, Dave. What's the schedule like for today? Do you get to rest up now?
For a little while, yeah, and then I got to go out and talk to Raheem. We'll do a coach's show. We'll do a segment with Raheem this afternoon, which I'm sure he'll be a joy of fun when we get out there. Start talking about what went on there. He was very upset. I thought Mike made a good point there. I thought he was very adamant about the fact that they did not coach in a couple positions very well, and they did not play in a couple areas very well. And you're 3-3. All is not lost. You got a game coming up this weekend that you need to go get. You cannot drop this game this weekend. You got to go get that. And so they got to go to work in earnest starting today.
Yeah, we've been playing some of your audio from that interview after the game with Raheem last night. He was pretty raw with his emotion last night. We're going to continue to play that. Dave, thanks for jumping on air with us early this morning. Appreciate the time as always. Get a little bit of rest and we'll talk to you Friday.
Yeah, great to be with you guys. Good job, Mike, last night. You and Dill, you guys were up late last night, too. So I know you guys are burning the midnight oil. Appreciate
you, sir. Thank you, sir.
That is Dave Archer, former Falcons QB. You can hear him on the Atlanta Falcons radio network during every Falcons game, along with Wes Durham. Always good to talk to Dave. Get some insight on a game like last night. Now, this Saturday from noon to 2, join me, Allie Mack, at Ed Voyle's Kia of Chamblee as we get ready for Sunday's big game, the one that Dave was just talking about. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit, which is a 50-inch 4K smart TV with a stand. Other prizes come along with it, and another winner will take home tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, that's this Saturday, noon to 2, at Ed Voyle's Kia of Chamblee. Coming up, we're going to zoom out into the NFL. Denver Broncos had a crazy comeback we got to talk about. It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Two tight ends, two receivers. Juszczyk out of the backfield to the right. They're going to throw inside, and it's intercepted. Off the hands of Jennings, it's Caden Ellis, and a stiff arm against Mac Jones as he head toward the Atlanta bench with the interception. How about the play by Caden Ellis? Huge turnover for Atlanta.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. Yes, our Falcons fell last night to the 49ers, 20-10, and they're at 3-3 for the season. Finding the highlights, though, Bijan Robinson rushed 14 times for 40 yards, recorded 6 receptions for 52 yards and a touchdown. His 92 scrimmage yards marks his 12th consecutive game with 90 or more scrimmage yards. So there we go.
There you go. You're always just such a bright spot for us in the mornings. We do appreciate it.
I'm trying. I mean, there were definitely some games that had wilder fallouts than ours last night, which we should probably talk about. So the Denver Broncos scored all of their 33 points in the fourth quarter to erase a 19-zip fourth quarter and beat the Giants 33-32 in a wild comeback. Here is Jackson Dart, obviously a little shocked after this loss.
I never felt like we were going to lose the game. So, you know, I looked at the clock when they scored. I said, dang, we got a lot of time left. I had no doubt that we were going to go down there and score.
What a brutal ending to a football game. especially if you're him with that bad interception. I know they said that Brian Daboll broke a chair in the locker room. I'm surprised it wasn't like five chairs.
Did you see Brian Burns coming off the field?
No, I didn't
Brian
see
Burns was livid the way they played defense on that last play that got him down, got the Broncos into field goal range because they, I think they only rushed like three, and they dropped guys back into coverage and still. I unlike some, am a Brian Daboll fan. That's rough. I'm scared. If I'm worried for him. Because I don't know if that's one at the end of the day that you can come back from. They're supposed to be a defense first team. They've got defensive littered all, especially at defensive line, is littered with guys that can play. I mean, you know, Abdul Carter, Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, the big guy in the middle that I can never think of his name. I mean, they are just absolutely loaded with defensive. Good job, Dallin. Thank you, Dexter Lawrence. Like. And I just don't know how you blow a 33-point lead in an NFL game in one quarter. It was 32-0.
You know what's even crazier? The Broncos only converted 4 third downs in the game. Like, it wasn't – like, they just explosives, defensive plays. It's just insane. Like, I just can't imagine it. And you know what's interesting is both these quarterbacks kind of remind me of one another, and I thought they kind of played similar yesterday at different times. Bo Nix has had his ups and downs, as has Jackson Dart early in his career. But I'm with you. I don't necessarily like Brian Daboll, but I want to see the situation play out with him and Jackson Dart. Yeah. If he gets canned right now, I'm gonna think that we missed something.
Bo Nix's sixth fourth quarter comeback in his young career. And then Sean Payton just loved to throw shade as he said, yeah, I was hoping they would start Jackson Dart after we play them. And at first you're like, oh, man, he's got respect for Jackson Dart. And then you're like, is he just throwing shade at Russell Wilson? The hatred he has for that man is, I mean, it's almost equal to my hatred for Sean Payton, which makes me have a slight little bit of, I like that petty. Mm. I'm just glad it's not, I'm just glad we don't have to deal with him anymore twice a year.
Yeah, true.
The Commanders lost Jaden Daniels in their game against the Dallas Cowboys. Suffered a right hamstring injury. Commanders did end up losing to the Cowboys 44-22.
It's just like, I don't know why. And we saw Washington here not long ago. It just feels like that team can't get out of their own way, even before Jaden Daniels left with the injury. But I will say this, and y'all give us credit. We've said it all along. Dallas's offense is unbelievable. They're unbelievable. Dan Quinn had no – I mean, you want to talk about Dan Quinn coming to play here? Dan Quinn going back to Dallas was another, you know, a storyline, or, you know, playing against the Cowboys, and that's going to always be one. But, man, that offense was able to do whatever they wanted to. Dak Prescott is playing extremely well right now.
I think that when it comes to Washington, their offense really helped them out a lot last year and keeping the ball and able to be able to score, and the defense is still a work. And I think they got exploited. That Dallas holding somebody at 22 points with or without Jaden Daniels getting hurt, it's kind of like, hey, victory. Because they have not been very good defensively. And if they make the playoffs with that defense not improving at all, Dak Prescott's going to get some love. George Pickens is playing out of his mind. And I know CD came back this week. Made some plays. I've never been a huge George Pickens guy. Because I can't stand the attitude and the selfishness on the sideline. But he looks different this year. He's having fun. He really looks like he's enjoying it. And he's still doing dumb George Pickens stuff. But it's a lot more fun when he's picking at the opponent than pitching a tantrum on the sideline.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also say that with Jaden Daniels being hampered, you know, by the injuries that he's had, their window in Washington is wide open right now. Right, I think we look at, you know, our quarterback situation and some of the other ones around the league with quarterbacks that age, and it's like, oh, is the window open? Is it not? Their window is wide open. And so the injuries, we talked about Bijan earlier, and we had a caller call in and say Zach Robinson's fired 2 weeks ago, if not for Bijan. I would say the same thing for Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels. He has bailed them out of problems more times than you can count. And when he's not part of that game plan, that's a different team.
I do give Cliff Kingsbury some credit because the game that Mariota started earlier in the year right before they played us, I thought he did a phenomenal job with some of his play calling and some of the things he did and twisting some of the offense. I think it is a lot harder when you have – now, I know that you can adjust, but, you know, when you've you're going for one thing. And really, that's a game to me against Dallas where you exploit them in the passing game in a lot of ways, and they couldn't do it. I'm not really sure where they're at in the running game right now either.
Well, I know it's Monday, but if you are setting up your social calendar today, looking ahead, you can join Dukes and Bell this Thursday for a special edition of their show from Guston's Grill in Woodstock. They'll be previewing Thursday night football and the weekend's big college and pro action while also enjoying all the great food and drinks at Guston's Grill. And you can join them. It's this Thursday, 2 to 6 at Guston's Grill in Woodstock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, it is Man Up Monday. Mike and Bo will have to face the decisions they made on Friday. And we've got it mic'd up.
Yeah, we're going to hit a three up, three down. I'll tell you who had a good weekend and, more importantly, who did not. You don't want to miss it.
Next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
7:42 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, who slept at the station last night. Bo Morgan, fresh off the plane from the West Coast, and Dylan behind the glass, also slept at the station. Before we get to Man Up Monday, which one of you three will have the longest nap today?
Dylan.
I was going to say, I hope it's Dylan. I'm not a great napper, and Bo's got a kid at home, so.
Yeah, I will. And I'm doing a radio show at 9, like literally as soon as we off the air, they asked me yesterday. I said, yeah, I'll do it at 9. I was feeling good.
Y'all on the way to say,
yeah, I'll do it at 9.
Of course.
Now
no
I'm like, not that I don't, they're fun, they're easy, yes. easy show, but it's just like, you know, and then I got some work around here I got to do. I probably won't get home till 11 o'clock. I got a 10 o'clock meeting. I got some stuff to do afterwards, like commercials and stuff I got to record. So Dylan won't get home, but what Dylan's going to do is he's going to go home at like 2 o'clock.
Please don't do that, dude. There's no way.
And he's going to sleep.
I'll get home earlier than
that. He's going to wake up. We're going to get our show call at like 6:30. Like, oh, God, my bad. I overslept.
He has business to handle today.
I have business to attend to. I got to go. Remember, I got to go take my car to the collision shop.
Oh, then Dylan won't get it either. It's going to be you. It's going to be you, Allie.
And I'm the most rested right now.
Grant left here last night, and he goes, I'm going to go home and sleep on the couch for about 90 minutes. And I said, why? And he goes, well, because Allie will be waking up, and then I'll send her your way. And I was like, 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, that just made me sick to my stomach. I can't believe you just said that.
Yeah. He grabbed a couple donuts out of that box, and then I was on my way.
All right, man.
This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates, experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. Let's get into Man Up Monday. All right, Dylan, I'm going to lean on you for this. How did these guys size up?
Not too bad. Again, a very solid week for both. So I will first start with what y'all did this week, and I'll get to overall records. Mike Johnson has now virtually tied Bo Morgan for the overall record with a 4-1 week this week. The only pick Mike got wrong, we'll get into that because that's going to be some part of the audio that we played.
I don't know.
You'll find out here in just a second. But Mike goes 4-1 this week. He is now 18-10-1. Bo Morgan, you were good, but not quite as good as Mikey P. You go 3-2 this week, and your record overall stands at 18-10. So both of you guys, 18-10, and Mike just has the one push.
How does he have one more pick than me?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Well, we threw out the picks from the week that you were out, right?
Yeah, so it shouldn't have mattered. I don't know how I got one.
So maybe he's 18-9. 18-11 and one, or 17.
Did I do math wrong? I might have done math wrong.
Yeah.
I'm looking.
Either way.
Well, we can get that later. You can do math.
It's close enough.
It's close enough.
We'll figure it out off there because I'm not going to get cheated out of a game.
Anywho, okay. As far as what you guys need to man up to today, we will save Mike for the end. Bo, Mike tried to give you the keys to victory. He tried to give you the sauce when he went first on his Georgia Ole Miss pick, but you still decided not to listen, be stubborn, and go against them.
Seven is a big number against a team like Ole Miss, and I think Ole Miss is pretty complete and for the most part. I'm not sold in Georgia's offense, and I'm not sold the way they've started games, home or away. And I think that unlike Auburn, if you start out slow against Ole Miss, they can put points up. And they can create a deficit. I do think that Georgia wins the game, but I think Ole Miss covers the 7.
But see, here's the thing. Mike went on this rant about how it was a revenge game, and that would easily cover the 7. And they
That's
didn't
not what I said.
They didn't easily cover anything, and it wasn't necessarily revenge. I mean
– But you did just say that you don't believe in Georgia's offense, and they put up 43.
No, I literally say in the clip, Georgia's going to win the game.
I know you did.
I just said Ole Miss would cover – and Ole Miss would have covered if they wouldn't just completely fell on a cart in the fourth quarter. They were literally up in the game late in the game. So, I mean, I missed it, but I don't think it was that bad. I also missed the Tennessee-Bama one. Dude, 59.5, and they scored 57 to combine. I was like, no, so close.
That's what we call a bad beat.
Who took the under?
Yeah, but I rolled in the Georgia Southern game.
And
you also took the Chargers to cover against the Colts. So, how you feel about that, big boy?
There you go. Rough one.
All right. So, Mike, the one that you missed, not too bad because the only blemish you had on your pick was the rando pick of the week.
I was
State. Maybe it's one of those, you know, road upset things where you get a rivalry game. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm going to break it down, but I'll go with Georgia State plus the points.
Yeah, there you go. Happen. The rando. It's like, I don't know. It sounds about right.
That's not too bad, though. Not too
shabby. I didn't take the, I didn't take the Chargers to cover.
Yeah, I was about to say he didn't.
What'd you take?
He took the over of 48.5.
The Colts. Oh man, I don't look forward to
4-1 and the four games that I actually knew something about, I actually won all of them.
And you didn't do last minute research on the Georgia State.
Thank you very much.
Georgia Southern game like Bo did.
I do not care. Just because my fingers work faster than his, that doesn't matter. Here's what I'll say real quick. I think our show is rolling in our picks. We don't select. We don't hand pick them. And we get a rando thrown in there, and we're still able. We're both 7 or 8 games over 500.
Yeah,
we're the best show on the station at picking games.
I always love when you throw a rando in there. And as always, Mic'd Up is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it, family style, one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. We've been doing this for the last few weeks. We get to Monday, and I give you guys the 3 up, 3 down from the weekend. Make sure you follow along. I think you're going to like these. All right, we're going to do all the ups first. All right, so let's follow along.
Let's go.
Tell me if I'm wrong on this. What is up, number one, the GPA requirements to get into the top 10 universities because Georgia Tech and Vanderbilt have entered the top 10 of the AP poll in college football, man. I just never thought we'd see the day. But we talked to Wes Durham on the pregame show yesterday. I know he spent time at both of these universities. I never thought we'd see this period in time where Georgia Tech and Vanderbilt occupy a couple of top 10 spots, and there you have it, man. They look really good right now.
Yeah, Wes had a nice long answer on that. I'm loving it. I just could not be happier for all my friends that are Tech fans. I got a couple of buddies at the club. Brent Key, really, mainly because Brent Key almost didn't get this shot. They almost. Jay Batt was the AD at the time, and he almost – they remember there was a whole thing that they were hiring the guy from was it Tulane, I think, at the time?
I believe you're right, yeah.
And they almost really missed the boat on this, and I thought Wes put it perfectly. They got a guy that understands what it means to win there and knew exactly who to engage in that program and maybe booster-wise and around it to get what they needed.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. Speaking of that, our up number two, you're going to like this one, Bo. Lane Kiffin's salary very soon. I don't know if that means he stays at Ole Miss or he goes to Florida, but those zeros are about to start lining up for Lane Kiffin. I think that you've said you'd like to have Lane Kiffin down at Florida. I think that everybody assumes he's going there. But either way, no matter how you slice it, that guy's about to get paid by somebody.
Two things. I heard someone say – I heard a report that the AD has said we're trying to do a Cignetti-type deal ASAP. And I heard someone counter with, if Lane wanted to stay there and wasn't interested in moving, then he would have already – that deal would already be done. Second thing I would say is, you know why I'm cool with a guy like Lane Kiffin coming? Is because you're – Ole Miss, who we think the tradition is not as great as people would say as far as games, like winning, right? That's up and down.
Yeah.
He has them in the college football playoff conversation every freaking year. And with a 12-team playoff, Lane Kiffin's the type of coach that could go on a couple-game run and have you in a semifinal or title game, and that's what every program wants.
He does. I do think there is an it's understated how hard he gets his teams to play, which I think is one of the more difficult things, specifically when you're known as a finesse style of offense. His teams play really hard,
too. I also think he's growing constantly as a coach.
Yeah.
And he kind of reminds me of Kyle Shanahan a little bit. Hear me out. Because famous name, a lot of flack early in his career because people didn't think he was as good as what he was doing. And then struggled early as a coach because Kyle struggled first year or so in San Fran, and now he's really he's just getting better. And I feel like Lane gets better every year.
I agree with that. I think Lane has run his mouth to the point where a lot of people haven't liked Lane in the past. So I think it's a little bit different than Kyle, but I agree with your overall thought process on that.
I think he's changed the way too how he runs his mouth a little bit.
All right, our third and final up on the weekend. How about this one? Lefty quarterbacks matching up in the NFL. I was talking to Grant about this last night. It's really funny. I was going, okay, yeah, we're going to get Miami and Tua, probably Tua, against Michael Penix and the Falcons. When's the last time two left-handed quarterbacks faced off in the NFL? Bo, you want to take a shot at this?
I want to say that it's recent. But
okay. How recent?
I don't know. I'm not
literally yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yesterday, yeah. Dylan Gabriel facing off with Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I didn't either. I didn't think about it. And I was like, man, I Googled it and it was like, oh, today was the day. Yesterday is the first time in 19 years that it's happened.
I know you got to get through your downs real quick, but Gabriel threw for like 120 yards. Yet they had like, they scored 31 points on like 300 yards of offense. But Steph Nash is like, well, yeah, I mean, hey, I ain't turning the ball over. That's winning football.
Exactly. Especially watching Tua across the way.
I guess I just haven't been paying close enough attention or watched too much of Dylan Gabriel, but I'm today years old that I realized he was left-handed.
He's got a cannon, too.
Yeah,
he can throw the ball through this triple pane glass we got up there.
There we go, because I know you're wondering. Michael Vick against Chris Sims in 2006 was the last time before yesterday that it happened in the NFL. All right, really quick, let's get to the three downs from the weekend. How about this one? Let's switch gears right here and go Major League Baseball. The GOAT debate in Major League Baseball is on a down. All right, I don't know if y'all have noticed Shohei Ohtani over the weekend, three home run performance with six innings pitched in 10 Ks. He's about to win his fourth MVP in eight seasons in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. It's insane. There's only one other player in Major League history that's won more than four. That's Barry Bonds, who won seven of them, and four of those were after he was on the juice. So Shohei Ohtani, the GOAT debate going downhill in Major League Baseball, he has been absolutely insane. How about this one? And we're going to hit this up. Bo the Broker is going to have to answer for this on Thursday. Carson Beck's Heisman odds. Now, we don't have the FanDuel odds just yet, which we utilized on Thursday. He was plus 300 when we talked about it from FanDuel. I looked. I had to find MGM today, plus 2,500. Completely plummeted after the four-interception performance Friday night.
Didn't I sell?
I think we both held on Carson Beck. I have to go look.
I think I sold. I'm not. Yeah, I tell you what, there's a lot of Miami fans, one in particular, talking a lot of trash. They might want to mute it for a second.
You just saw that one come in. Louisville, obviously, a really good football team. And then how about this one to finish up? The third down, job security of the quote-unquote best coaches in college football. Run through these with me. All right, Brian Kelly, Mike Norvell, reportedly might even be fired today.
I don't know how they're going to get the money.
Dabo Swinney. Just rough, just brutal. Well, Shane Beamer is like, oh, I'm not going to Virginia Tech. I'm like, I don't know how much longer South Carolina is going to want you. I don't know why we're answering questions about Virginia Tech.
Be careful. Be careful if you're South Carolina because you're a hard place to win. I don't think your quarterback's quite as good as advertised.
And also Steve Sarkisian to finish on. Did you see the end of that Texas-Kentucky game? They didn't even celebrate. Texas kicks the game winning field goal in overtime, and they were just kind of like, Steve Sarkisian just kind of like hand slapped somebody, and they were like, this was miserable.
Yeah.
Like, everybody get off the field right now. Just a brutal game.
They didn't retool. Like, they put a lot of expectations on the last name, and they did not retool that team. And
that offensive line's awful.
Yeah.
They're awful.
Their defensive line's not much better.
And you know I say that as an offensive line lover. I know. But Texas' offensive line is just terrible.
I love it when you call out
there
your
you
brethren.
Go. Three up, three down. Three up, three down from the weekend.
Nice job. Coming up, it's the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. It's all Falcons today. Let's hear it. When did you know things were going south? What do the Falcons need to work on this week? Call us, 404-726-0929. The wake-up call is next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.